This is It's the Beat on the Mighty 1290 Coil. It's the Beat is sponsored by Filmstream's Ruth Sokoloff Theater. Now, here are your hosts, Karen Sokoloff-Javich and Jody Vinci.
Hey, Karen, can you believe almost a year has passed? The year is ending so soon. We have been on the air for what, nearly 7 months?
Yeah, well, 6 months. Six months. This is our 6 month anniversary.
It seems like, truly, like 10 years underwater. But it really, truly has been an incredible experience every week with
Where
you, Karen.
Where does the time go? I have no idea. It just flies by.
It does. Yeah. You know, when the seasons change, when the snow starts flying, then you know, here we go.
Yeah.
And then it'll be spring before we know it.
Yeah.
But just think about, you know, reflecting on the guests that we've had in the past several months, it's. To me, I'm dumbfounded by how many people were so interested in coming on our show, yet they were so appreciative.
Talented. Yeah. And most of them are Omaha or Nebraska related, not all of them.
Which is wonderful.
Yes.
I think that's what makes our show so special.
For our state.
It does, because listen, look at the talent that's out of here.
Yeah.
I mean, we truly, I mean, if we could have had Johnny Carson on, we would have, but I don't think he could have made the show.
No, but Dick Cavett came close.
Dick Cavett. With Dickie. But we have had some incredible, interesting
Amazing.
Guests.
Uh-huh.
Remember?
Alexander?
Yes, Alexander Payne. Two-time award winner.
Is he done filming the Nebraska movie?
You know, I don't know. I think they're probably, I would assume they're coming to a close.
Yeah.
Especially as cold as it is. I don't know if that plays a role in his show, but he's in, was it Norfolk, I think?
I think so. And he came on at the very beginning.
He was our very first or second show.
Right. He hadn't even gotten the people yet to be in Nebraska.
He helped kick it off for us. Way back when.
Yeah, and so did Rachel Jacobson from Filmstreams. We have to thank her for sponsoring our show.
Oh, she was so terrific and has been such a great supporter of ours. I mean, nonstop, just great supporters. And, you know, Karen, we have had, I think there are so many local talents that we talked about, but there are also talents from Omaha that have a national presence.
Yes.
I mean,
John Beasley. Incredible.
He is incredible.
Chuck Pennington, Mannheim Steamroller.
Yep. We had John Beasley's son.
I know, Michael
in
Beasley.
In Atlanta. What
Did
was
you
he
ever
known?
See Flight? Did you see him?
I have
in
not
it?
Seen it yet.
Oh,
was he good?
Yeah. Well, he's at the very end. He always plays like a policeman. He's a big guy.
Okay.
Always plays that kind of role.
What
but
did they call him? Something of Atlanta? What
oh,
was
yeah,
his?
The King of the South?
Is that what it was? Or the
Southern Hollywood?
Yeah.
King of Southern, yeah, something
We've
like
probably
that.
Messed that up.
I know.
He's the Southern Hollywood King of Atlanta. The real house husband of Atlanta.
Yeah.
I don't know what they... What did they call him? I don't even know. How about the one-man show? How about Gerald Charles Dickens? So wasn't that exciting? The grandson of Charles Dickens?
The accent, Judy.
Oh, I loved it.
Oh, I loved it,
Wasn't
too.
It great?
Oh, he was wonderful.
That's right. He's like, we could meet up for some tea.
Ooh, with the queen.
I love it. We could have a biscuit. The queen. How about the queen in the Olympics? One of my favorite
you were so funny.
Highlights
what
of when the
again?
Queen. Yeah, where she stood up after all of that time waiting to see what is the queen. I know she's going to say something so profound. And she stands up with her peach suit on and stands
beautiful.
Up with a cute little, with her hand up in the air. Let the games begin. And that's all we got out of her.
And that
but
was
God
it.
Bless the queen.
God bless her because she's going to be a great grandmother
oh, won't
of
it be
her
lovely,
new royal baby.
Lovely. And speaking of the queen, we have Elaine Chabanas, who is the queen of acting in Omaha.
She is. She won every award, Jody,
isn't that wonderful?
In Omaha in the acting field. All the awards at the Playhouse. And there's an award named for her.
Oh, really?
The Elaine Chabanas Award.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Yeah. And who do they give that award to?
I don't know what that award is for. They also have one for Dick Boyd, who we had on. You know,
Dick Boyd.
Who
Doesn't
played
he look
Scrooge
amazing?
For 30 years.
Oh, my gosh. I know. And what a handsome man.
He's
you know.
Adorable.
Who would have ever thought Scrooge was so handsome?
I know.
But he was. He was handsome.
A nice man.
We had everything
people.
From. Oh, yeah. We had what? Actors, artists. We've had fusion glass artists, paper card artists, glass artists. We've had adventurers in art. And we had a woman who opened up a store where you could actually paint and drink at the same time.
It's Kathy.
Yes, with Canvas and Cabernet.
Yes, wonderful. In Village, in the middle. What's that called?
Exarban Village.
Exarban Village, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, wasn't that? She was incredible.
She was wonderful. And
so sweet.
I thought it was unusual. We had the owner of 14 of Princess Diana's dresses. Her name was Maureen Dunkel. She wrote a book about the Princess Diana dresses. That was incredible.
Yeah. I mean, actors, artists, authors. We've had authors.
Oh,
that...
and the football player, Jode. Who'd we have?
Oh, Eric Crouch.
Ooh.
Come on.
Nice,
Heisman
Eric.
Trophy winner. I mean, we're going from glass artists to the
Heisman Trophy winner.
To authors, how about Farrah Fawcett's best friend?
Yeah, right.
Alana Stewart.
Alana Stewart.
It was great to have her on. Uh-huh. And Sandra Douglas, who was a New York Times bestselling author, remember the Persian Pickle Club? And then we had
so many good authors.
Wasn't the Fiores, because she's doing the
movie on the Persian Pickle Club.
Yes. Christine and Morrow.
Yeah.
And Morrow, didn't he win?
He won an Oscar for cinematography for Avatar. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. So we've really... We are good.
I know.
I mean,
look at all the singers.
It's not about the talent,
Jody.
That's right. Oh, the singers.
The Beehive cast, and they're still playing Beehive.
They were great.
Right now.
Billy McQuiggan, Buddy Holly, the
Tim
Maynard
Halperin
triplets.
Just
Tim
had
Halperin,
on.
Amazing. Yeah. I could not honestly tell you that I have spoken to anyone as sweet and authentic as that young man. His parents did a great job with him.
Yeah, he's just adorable.
Truly, yeah.
And then Grace Bedalek. She's our youngest guest at 16.
And she was on our show from the Nebraska
Furniture Mart
and sang a cappella and just did absolutely. I mean, people, they had goosebumps.
Yeah. She talked about her first Broadway audition, which was really cool.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. We had Sugar Thieves. They were a great
bluesy
band. They were great. They live in Arizona, but she has Omaha roots, which is wonderful.
And you know who else I liked? Ron Hull. He's the pioneer with PBS, and he wrote the book Backstage. He lives in Lincoln. And then a couple weeks later, we went to lunch with him in Lincoln, Elaine and I.
Oh, how nice.
And Norma. Yeah, wonderful man. So another sweet man.
Oh.
Who just, you know, had interviewed Vivian Vance from I Love Lucy and talked about all that. He was talking about the I Love Lucy show with me.
Yeah, and he had a lot to do with Nebraska Public Television.
Yeah, totally. He still works there.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Oh, how wonderful.
He's like, you know, a little older and he still works there.
Oh,
darling man.
Yeah, sweet, sweet man.
Yeah.
Next time I'll have to go to lunch with you.
I wish you could have. Also, Steve Morantz, a Central High graduate, wrote The Rhythm Boys of Omaha Central. And he was just inducted into the Hall of Fame at Central.
That's right.
Another talented person. We are lucky to live here, you know, Jody?
You know, we are lucky to live here. And we've had some interesting folks with unusual occupations. Rebecca Rosen, an Omahan who is a psychic medium.
Right.
Sarah Gray, how about that?
Luthier? I still don't know what a luthier
is. The luthier.
Does anybody there know what a luthier is?
It's a stringer. She had us all strung up.
She was all strung up
on violins. That's right. She was great. And how about Marcia Capiston? Marcia was amazing, the videographer that follows Paul McCartney.
Right. She's friends with Paul. He calls her on her cell phone.
Well,
do you know anybody who, you know, has a cell phone where Paul McCartney calls her?
No. She's amazing, amazing.
She is so talented.
Yeah. She really is terrific.
Yeah.
And we're lucky that we can tout her as an Omahan, not maybe from here, but certainly loves being here. Yes. And you know, how about, speaking of Ron Hull, and who is his best friend, Karen?
Dick Cavett.
And what is our most requested interview?
It is the Dick Cavett interview.
So coming up, we will all share with you the most requested, highly recommended interview. We were thrilled to get Mr. Dick Cavett.
So we'll be right back with Dick Cavett.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-630-8707. 1-888-630-8707. That's 1-888-630-8707. 1-888-630-8707.
The Metropolitan Opera's award-winning series of live high-definition broadcasts is back at Filmstream's Ruth Sokoloff Theater. Presented by Filmstreams in collaboration with Opera Omaha, the new season of The Met Live in HD features 12 operas, including classic productions and Met premieres. Experience New York's Metropolitan Opera from your seat at Filmstream's Ruth Sokoloff Theater, featuring informative and entertaining prelude talks by Opera Omaha artists and staff before all live Saturday matinees. And if you can't make the live show, catch an encore presentation the following Wednesday evening. The Met, Live in HD at Filmstream's Ruth Sokoloff Theater, Omaha's nonprofit cinema. Find more information and purchase advance tickets on the calendar page at filmstreams.org.
You're listening to It's the Beat on the Mighty 1290 Coil. Once again, here are your hosts, Karen Sokoloff-Javich and Jody Vinci.
Hello, everyone. We are back in the studio with someone that is a legendary, legendary talk show host and author of three books. And can you believe we actually on the phone have Mr. Dick Cavett.
Hi,
welcome, Dick.
Thank you for having me on.
I was going to say, I love your voice.
Well, that's
it's
not. It's Fran and Kukla Alley. I'm sorry.
It's Fran.
Where's Kukla and Alley? I don't know. That's super.
That would make you sound like liars.
Yeah, you're right.
I think.
Well, no one will believe us, so you know.
That's right. They'll believe the legendary talk show host. I'm not sure about the authoring of the three books, but we added that in there, Dick, just to make you look good. You know, we know you needed a little fluff.
At what point do you become legendary?
I think it's years.
I think
that's what the number of years.
Because you're older than we are, I think you're legendary.
Well, yeah, that's a good definition. I can accept that.
Legendary. Well, Dick, let me tell you something. My dad attended the University of Nebraska in Lincoln, and he remembers a visit from you and your good friend Marvin Breslow at the Sammy House in Lincoln.
Do you remember, Dick?
What a memory.
I know. Well, you know, he's 78 and he still has some of his marbles. So he does remember that. He said, yeah, you make sure and tell Dick I said hello. I said, well, of course, you're old friends. You go way back.
I wonder what fraternity prankish behavior we had at the Sammy House.
Legendary, I'm sure.
That's where the legendary comes from, Dick. This is what
I never joined a fraternity, but
You went to Yale.
I had all the fun of one because there were deeks across the hall from me at Yale.
Oh yeah,
and they would come in and vomit in my room.
Good.
So, that's great. So it made you think that you had a night of drinking when you could just walk into your room and someone else was doing that. That's kind of like
they
having a stunt double. That's right. You had a stunt double. That's perfect. Oh my gosh. Well, Dick, you know, we're beyond thrilled.
Excited.
Karen and I were talking
excited.
About this, and we said, you know, there's so many things to talk to you about. So
We'll leave it to you, Dick.
Well, I wanted to jump in with just asking you a couple of things, just about how, if you think about when you first were into, you know, TV, and I understand that you and Ron had this great radio show, and we can talk about that. But what I was curious about is, you know, if you think about today and the talk shows that we have today, so you have, you know, the Dave Lettermans of the world and the Jay Lenos and, you know, it goes beyond. And, you know, back in your day with, you know, Jack Parr and Ed Sullivan, and there was only three channels. And now, you know, there's hundreds of channels. But what do you
Isn't
think?
Amazing?
You know, it is.
Yeah,
it is.
It's so different.
I'm sick of the word amazing.
Yeah.
We got
incredible.
When the coaxial cable came to Lincoln, well, to Nebraska, it was easy to decide what to watch because you had three channels. Then I think Bishop Sheen came on
right.
Dumont.
Right.
And then you had to choose among four channels.
Yeah.
Right.
That was
not
a highlight.
500.
And the public channel.
How can they prove anybody is watching any, at least half of those 500 channels?
No, I mean, it's,
I don't know.
I think that Nielsen added to their staff. You know, I'm sure they, you know, quadrupled their staff just to hunt this down. And I really don't know how it works.
Well, there wouldn't be anybody on the street if anybody were
no.
watching.
Yeah, that's true.
No.
But you started writing comedy for Jack Parr. Is that kind of how you got started?
Yeah, that was my first job. That was not caddying, copyboying, or being a busboy at Yale.
Oh. But all phenomenal jobs that got you to where you are today.
Are you just naturally funny? I mean, where do these words come from in your brain?
I don't know. It's a weird thing. Woody Allen said once that the ability to write jokes is one of the strangest and most mysterious gifts in mm-hmm. human nature. There's no explaining it. Any more than there's any explaining of people who have no sense of humor, which is just as baffling.
Well, when did you know you could do this? That you
somebody left a newspaper open at the copy desk at Times saying Jack Parr worried so about his monologue.
Oh.
And to make a very interesting, detailed story quite short, I went home and typed one that sounded like Jack, took it to him, and he hired me.
Boy.
Isn't that wonderful?
That's how you get it.
That's how you get it.
That's how you did it then, huh?
You know, but think about it. How many years
every so often, of course, I've paid the price. So people sending me, envelopes of material and saying, I'm asking you for the break Jack Parr gave you.
Yeah, how about that? You got to pay.
Well, a lawyer quickly jumped on that and said, you don't dare open them. You can't even open the envelope. It has to be immediately returned.
Oh.
This is the way to many, many lawsuits.
Yes, well, I'm sure.
Is that how you got to Johnny Carson then?
Through, what, the lawsuit?
Through Jack? Or? Oh. Yeah, through the lawsuit.
No, I didn't sue Carson. I threatened him with not hiring me, but
that's
no,
right.
I and Johnny, you were, I know you were a magician, Stick. That's
and didn't
right.
he always called? He always called him Richard.
Yeah, Richard. That's
yes.
Right.
Yeah, Johnny always. We liked each other very much, and he always said, "Richard, I think you're capable of a little better monologue one day," and that chilled me. But the rest of the time, we did great, and I liked going on his show and.
Yeah, but you knew each other when in the young day. I mean, when you were really young, you were magicians, both of you, correct?
Yeah, if you check the files of the journal Star, I guess it's now called, there's an article with three pictures of me with my rope trick that I beat the president of the Society of American Magicians out of in a competition at St. Louis Magic Convention. And they came up with the headline, you know, those people who have to get something that fits the exact space. Young Lincoln Sharpie Best Magicians Group Head, H-E-A-D. and there I am with a, it looks like a crew cut, but it's not, and a bow tie, and a not a $1 million grin, but about an $85 grin.
Oh, your smile's great, actually. But so, like, when you were a little kid, you just loved magic?
No, I had no interest in magic as a little kid. But one day I went to the Nebraska State Fair, and there was a guy, as they say in the trade, pitching Svengalis.
Mm.
There's a wonderful genius trick deck called the Svengali deck. And it changes from 52 cards to, let's say, all Jack of Hearts back and forth. And I bought this, and I learned the 15 tricks, and that hooked me.
Oh. Gosh.
See, it's
then there was a magician in Lincoln who just died last year. His name was Gene Gloy.
Uh-huh.
He's at the university, professional magician. And he sort of took me under his wing and taught me so that I really, some people remember who went through the Depression. The fact, not just Depression, but the Depression, that I lent my parents $600 while in high school as a payment on a new car. Because I was making $35 a night as a magician.
Oh.
And back then.
Now and then. I wrote that in one of my blogs in the New York Times online, and I heard from Teller, Penn and Teller, saying I was 40 before I got $35 a night.
We're still looking for that for
yeah,
the show,
we
right,
are.
Jody?
We're thinking. I think we're just about. We're,
well,
about 32.
We're almost there.
32.50, and we'll, you know.
Hang in there.
I know.
Thanks.
We're trying.
My father taught English in Comstock, Nebraska, about the time I was born, for $900 a year.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
And he beat out something like 28 other desperate men who wanted the job.
Oh.
And they allowed him to also coach football, baseball, basketball, and put on the senior play.
They allowed him to.
Something.
Guess what? No extra money.
Oh, my gosh. Ugh. And, Dick, you're a Nebraska boy, so you were born in Gibbon. Is that right?
Well, we lived in Gibbon. Technically, I was born. Can you be born technically?
You can. Well, you know what?
Maybe.
Yes, you can. Yes,
I was born in Kearney.
Kearney.
Oh, okay.
Gibbon failed to have a hospital.
Oh.
But they do now, I think. It's called the Dick Cavett Hospital.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Wouldn't that be so nice?
I still miss playing on the piles of sugar beets by the railroad tracks.
Oh.
See, now do you get back to Nebraska very often, Dick?
Not enough. I love coming there.
You were here this summer, right?
And of course, when you lived there, it was, oh, we live in the most boring place
I know,
in the world.
But it's wonderful.
And then it was really after Nebraska, although I had been there, that I discovered the sand hills, and that's one of the great places on earth.
And I think people don't realize
poor idiots
that.
Who take the interstate across Nebraska and say, boy, is it boring. And I don't, my great teacher in Lincoln High School, Ron Hull's great friend, Esther Montgomery, said, thank God the tourists haven't discovered the sand hills. Oh, my my God, I just revealed them to them.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I guess you did.
Now there's going to be just a
Yes, they're terrible. Stay out of it.
Exactly.
Dick, as I was reading about you and watching a lot of your talk show interviews today, like with Lucille Ball and Marlon Brando, and yes. I mean, the list goes on and on. Do you have a favorite?
I thought because I get asked that, I thought mm-hmm. there must be an answer. But mm-hmm. I made the mistake of asking Merv Griffin that when I worked for him, and he said there's so many categories.
Right. How do you declare it?
Trying to compare athletes and politicians and actors.
How about an actor? Give us an actor.
Well, one murderer. What?
How about an actor? Can you say favorite actor, or you have too many favorites of those?
No, but Groucho meant the most to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a great interview? Oh, my gosh.
So I know you were good friends with him, and you actually interviewed him on your show? I don't know when
Numerous times.
Yes, which is great. How about, Dick, when you were interviewing folks on your show, was there ever some folks on the show who you thought, oh, these people are never going to make it, and they ended up just becoming huge? Did that ever happen where you thought, no, these guys aren't going to make it?
And then they got better as the show went on?
Yeah.
Because of you, they got huge.
That's right. No, for people
I was warned not to have George Harrison on because I'd had John and Yoko.
I watched it today. That is so fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's wonderful.
That's worth re-seeing.
That really.
And somebody said, you're trying to do 90 minutes with George? Lots of luck. And at first, I saw what they meant. And then he got better and better and better. And one of the great defenses of the 90-minute format, which is apparently gone forever, it took real men to do talk shows in those days.
Absolutely.
is that guests settle in and sometimes become very relaxed and very revealing, and then we'll say, this happened to me a lot, how did you get me to talk about that?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the art of
the British have a better way. In England, they have a drinks trolley in every chat show green room. So the guests come off half pissed and are often very interesting because of that. Often had to send out for drinks for guests who wanted them. But we never had them as a rule. I don't know why. They're America. Maybe it's the Pilgrim influence.
That's what it is.
Dick, growing up with the Beatles, can you tell us how John and Yoko, well, mostly John, because, you know, we have a great affinity for John Lennon. And did you enjoy that interview with them?
Yeah, I really like John and Yoko and John slightly more, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But just because he was such a fascinating character.
Mm-hmm. I would think so.
Strange, interesting, odd neuroses and art, talents and things and going off in all directions like a fireworks explosion in his head.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked him immediately when I went and met them in a hotel in New York. And John said, you've got the only halfway intelligent show. And I said, why would you want to go on a show where it's halfway intelligent? And that seemed to set us off.
And the rest, right. And the rest is in history.
Huh? And yeah. It was interesting that they were both smoking, Dick, while the interview was taking.
In the Jack Parr show and Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson, what did he have? He smoked Pall Malls until he couldn't, you know.
Yeah, he was killed by Pall Malls. Yeah. So you can thank Liggett and Myers or whoever it is who makes them. Not that they made him smoke them, as they would hurry to say. But, yeah, he smoked since the Navy. And I remember going in the office once and dropping off my jokes, and he said, these things are killing me, Richard.
Wow.
You know, that was 30, 40 years ago.
Wow.
But Jack didn't smoke. He smoked cigars.
Oh, it wasn't Jack. You know who else smoked
Jack
on television?
Benny.
It was Jack Benny. Who was it that had the late night talk show? Kind of salt and pepper hair, but he was on late night and he was the only talk show besides Johnny Carson, but he was on after Johnny Carson. Smoked on the show.
Tom Snyder.
Tom Snyder.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, I was on his show. I rather liked him. He,
I did too.
He did a kind of dumb thing though the night I was on. I said something about Johnny that Snyder took as an insult because he didn't know the word I used. I was wasn't trying to be highbrow. Oh, I said Johnny's avuncular toward me. And Tom thought that must be an insult. So he said, you know, medals should be pinned on this guy. He makes all the people should be praising him. And he went on so long that I had to say something that I knew was true. He's still not going to have you on the show, Tom.
And it's true.
It
was true, and he wasn't ever going to.
We'll be right back with the legendary Dick Cavett.
It's almost time to say goodbye to 2012. So at Auto Time, it's time to say goodbye to all their Chevys, Fords, Hondas, Toyotas, Jeeps, and more. Every Civic, Silverado, F-150, Grand Cherokee, Altimas, and more at Auto Time are on sale and ready to deliver. Auto Time offers free Carfaxes and on-the-spot bank financing to qualified buyers. Auto Time, located 1 mile west of I-80 on 127th and Q Street, or online at autotimeomaha.com. Don't wait. Now's the time. Auto Time.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back into the stock market, who in these great United States of America can predict what's going to happen next? Me. Well, occasionally. Listen to the Asking Price radio program right here on the mighty 1290 Coil every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. Brought to you by Allies Limited. Allies Limited. We know the way.
The Metropolitan Opera's award-winning series of live high-definition broadcasts is back at Filmstream's Ruth Sokolov Theater. Presented by Filmstreams in collaboration with Opera Omaha, the new season of The Met Live in HD features 12 operas, including classic productions and Met premieres. Experience New York's Metropolitan Opera from your seat at Filmstream's Ruth Sokolov Theater, featuring informative and entertaining prelude talks by Opera Omaha artists and staff before all live Saturday matinees. And if you can't make the live show, catch an encore presentation the following Wednesday evening. The Met, live in HD at Filmstream's Ruth Sokolov Theater, Omaha's nonprofit cinema. Find more information and purchase advance tickets on the calendar page at filmstreams.org.
You're listening to It's the Beat on the Mighty 1290 Coil. Once again, here are your hosts, Karen Sokolov-Javich and Jody Vinci.
Hello, everyone. We are back in the studio with Mr. Dick Cavett.
I really admire how you came out speaking about your depression, because that affects so many families, Dick. And
yeah, the upside of depression is, if you're well known and talk about it, you get rewarded ever after, it seems, by people, and at the time too, letters and things, people saying you saved my daughter's life, or my husband finally went in to turned himself in, thinking if Dick Cavett could have depression, then it was all right for him too, you know. Like, so it's probably the only defensible good use of celebrity I can think of.
And you came out with it when celebrities weren't coming out with all of this. That's very commendable.
Yeah, it didn't occur to me not to, so I'm not sure how much credit I get for it. I was on Larry King, and he asked me about it, and I talked about it.
Yeah,
thing I said on that show that seems to still ring a bell with people who are sufferers, poor devils, is... suddenly I said, has such a grip on you that if there were a magic wand 8 feet away that would cure you, it's too much trouble to go over and pick it up.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, my gosh.
Something I wish I had a tape of, you have to help me and maybe guess where I did this. I mean, figure it out. A few years ago, they had me over to a place in Omaha where depressed people were housed and being treated and so on and so on. A wonderful organization. And I wish I could think of the name of it. And I...
Was it Richard Young?
Suddenly was... Was it what?
Richard Young?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But memory loss is a symptom of depression. But I was suddenly sort of shoved on stage. I thought I was there just to meet some people, I guess. And suddenly I was put on stage, so to speak, in a huge room with about seemingly 200 or more depressed
patients. My goodness. Oh.
and I got them laughing.
There you go.
Again, there was reward. Afterwards, mm-hmm. a young woman came over and said hello and thanked me, and then one of the staff said she hasn't spoken in over 3 months.
Aww. Oh. Gosh.
So that's kind of nice.
That is nice. Because you can touch people. Right.
And I didn't cure anyone. It doesn't work that way.
No, but you helped.
It can give them a moment of thinking there is another world besides this black one that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's obvious that you are treating it successfully, and by talking about it and bringing it to the light, that others can see themselves and say, okay, if he can get through it, I can get through it. And you're approachable.
Yeah,
and
I'm not the only one.
No, not at all.
Joan Pauley has done a good bit on it, and others. And God knows it's epidemic in the arts and the acting profession.
Absolutely.
Because
I think creative people.
Right. It hits, that explainable.
Yeah.
Yes.
It hits creative people. I really
There's
do.
The high expectations. And what you have, you know, you're performing and on a daily basis, and, you know, some of the, you know, the egos and some of the personalities, and you want to always
yep.
please, right?
Yeah.
And you always want to make sure that, you know, if the audience stops clapping, then depression can set in.
Yeah. It's also no fun to do an up show, to fake one when
mm-hmm.
you've got it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one point having the great luck in normal times of singing with Ethel Merman.
Oh, there's no business like show business.
No.
Business like show business. I love
that. Yeah, that great sound. She never warmed up. And I looked over on the monitor, and there I was, happy and grinning and singing and thinking, God, if they could know how I feel inside.
Uh-huh. Mm. You didn't feel that way.
So
wow.
I spoke to Mr. Brando about this subject once.
Uh-huh. Said,
well, it's called Automatic Pilot. I've had it too. You know, So, speaking of Omaha and Brando.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we just have so many.
How about that?
So many talents out of Nebraska.
I was reading how you spoke about Johnny Carson, and you said that before he'd go on, he'd kind of be kind of, you know, smoking and kind of a mess. Is this kind of what you said? And then he'd pull himself together?
Well, he was he seemed always down during the day, not happy, sitting in his T-shirt in the office,
yeah.
having
uh-huh.
a cigarette and... How's it going for you, Richard? Okay. And then he would pull himself together at sort of in the wings and suddenly
yeah.
straighten and step on his Pall Mall and go out there and just be bright for an hour.
Wow.
Did Johnny suffer from depression, Dick?
I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
He drank, had a drinking problem for a long time. And
yeah.
That's the worst thing, because alcohol depresses the central nervous system,
mm-hmm.
scientifically, factually. Mm-hmm. So a drink will make you feel better while you're drinking it, and then it drops you further.
Right.
So it's a deadly
sure.
thing
and
to do.
Right.
Dick, you were his good friend, but it was interesting then when he retired from his show, you didn't speak to him again? Is that correct?
Oh, no, I spoke to him. Yeah, sure. We had a great night together once discussing adolescent inept sexual experience as boys in Nebraska.
That
in
had
a
to
dark
be.
Bar,
we understand completely.
We do?
Oh, I'm sure you've been a victim of other people.
Sure, yeah.
I was going to speak for yourself, Karen.
He was very moved at that point because he had just come back from his Nebraska special shooting it out there, and he teared up telling me about meeting his old school teachers.
Aww.
The Johnny that people thought was cold and unsentimental.
Yeah, because I think he had a couple teachers on his show a couple times, I remember. These little old ladies coming
in. Yeah,
he
did, and on that, Johnny comes back to Nebraska, or whatever they called it, they surprised him with a bunch of his teachers. So
aww.
He had a good time.
Yeah, well, we all miss him, as you do, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And you have three books, right, Dick? Is this...
I have hundreds of books.
Well,
I see what you mean.
Well, you're such a bragger, really. You know, not a name dropper, but just telling us how many books you actually have. How many of those
hundreds did you write?
Yeah.
My dad was an English teacher, and he always liked to say, I said, I'm going to give you a book for your birthday. And he'd say, I've got a book.
Oh.
Aww.
And He thought that was terrifically funny, so
right.
I have to laugh at it every
Do you know
day.
What? I loved your comment. What show were you on? Pyramid or some show?
I
Password.
Did the Pyramid a lot,
But
yeah.
Password, and the it was aspirin, and what was the clue you gave for aspirin?
Oh, God.
And
how
she lost.
You know this embarrassing thing?
I know, because I read
you
it today.
Promise not to humiliate me.
Oh, well, we're all friends
here.
It would
be, I guess I had learned the word in a... aspirin came up, and I thought, easy, acetyl salicylic acid.
This is what he says, Jody.
And the poor lady just looked stupefied. I cost her the winning the round, cost her her money, and I should, if she's listening, I'll be happy to pay her whatever
she send her a check, wherever this woman is now.
She wasn't exactly sweet about it. She said, thanks, I needed the money.
Oh.
And,
she wasn't
so
from Nebraska. Dick, she wasn't from Nebraska.
Sad.
That's
for
right.
For gosh sakes. And it's amazing, you know, poor Dick Clark, but, you know, he was such a legend as well. And to work with him had to have been such a joy.
Yeah, he was always fun. And I used to rib him, a term I haven't heard in 30, 40 years. heckle him, sort of. He'd say, Cabot's here again. And, you know. Once he said, our next guest comes all the way from Miami, Florida. And I said, if she hadn't come all the way, she wouldn't be here, would she?
Ba-dum-bum.
Ba-dum-bum. And that brings up your Jane Mansfield line, which I love, too.
What is that, Karen?
that was, I'd love to know what part of the brain that came from. It's not a standard joke form by any means.
Yeah. Oh, that was a good
Do
one.
I have to tell it now?
Well, could you share
know.
It with me?
I guess we can share it with Jody. I'll do a mini version. Okay.
Jack had Jane Mansfield on. You would have thought he was getting King of England or the Queen. and she wasn't as big as Marilyn, but she was a huge movie star at that time, though Marilyn has survived more in myth and so on. But anyway, she... Jack rejected all the writer's introductions. These aren't good enough. This is Jane Mansfield. I don't know. You guys haven't given me anything I can use in weeks. That made me mad. And the next day I dropped off some carbons of jokes he had used of mine in the weeks. But anyway, everybody gave up. One writer just went home, said he's never going to accept anything. And I don't know. The gods visited me, and I just went upstairs and typed, here they are, Jane Mansfield.
Here they are.
See, isn't that good?
Nice. That's good. I think someone used that joke on me once, but that's...
Yeah. You're right, Jody.
Well, they owe me money then.
They do. I'm sure you have that copyrighted, and they'll pay residuals, Dick. They're on their way. The check is in the mail.
Dick, I have a question. Just a quick question, because I write songs, so these tunes are always going through my head. All of a sudden you're sitting there and these funny lines, these things just come in your head, or are you sleeping at night and you think of something and you get up and write it down? I mean, how do you...
Lines you think of at night never survive into the dawn.
Well, that's because you don't write it down, though, right?
No, it's that they're not funny. They're funny in the dream.
I tried
that a couple times.
Oh.
One of them was something like, you think you've done this brilliant joke, I can't wait to, I better write it down. And you pick up the paper the next morning that you've written it on.
Yeah.
And it says the curtain walked down the street.
Oh.
Or something like that. You know, just absolute nonsense.
Well, so do you sit there and you try and write them, or do they just come to you in the middle of the day?
They come to me in, humorous things come to me in conversation.
That's true.
To turn out a monologue, you got to sit down and write it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You wouldn't have thought of the Jane Mansfield line had you not been...
If Jack had accepted anybody else's perfectly good introduction, that's sort of a legendary line. It's appeared, a couple of people have claimed it.
Oh.
One became an exchange of letters in a national magazine, I forget which one. Somebody saying, that to hell, that's yours. Dick Cavett gave that to Jack Parr. Sort of got it taken on a life of its own.
Well, and it can. That maybe we could frame it and put it in a museum, because that's a
well,
joke.
It's though. Not. It's hardly Hamlet or
no,
but it's not Hamlet, but it's Cavett.
It is Cavett.
It is that
the legendary Cavett.
Yes,
that's right.
The legendary, hands down. Dick, do you watch?
I have to finish cleaning my desk.
Ah,
well,
is that an exit line for us or what?
Where would you get that idea?
No. But we are having so much fun, and we so appreciate you sharing your afternoon with us, Dick. And you know, we wish you nothing but luck with your blog. And
we love your blog.
Yeah, it's, I just did the one that's up now is part two of my my visits with Stan Laurel.
Oh yeah, that's terrific.
And how can
so many people cried reading the first one and doing back. although it's not all sad.
How do we go to your blog, Dick?
The email came in by the hundreds, so I wrote a part two, which is also popular.
Okay.
But you know how dumb people are. And, you tell them that it's online, and then you run into someone who heard you, and they say, I went all through the Times, and I couldn't find your article. And we'll say, well, they're not on paper.
I know, so that's it's online, it
There's this thing called...
The internet?
NY Times, New York Times, Dick Cavett will take you there.
Okay. NY Times.
Your listeners are new to this.
We got it.
Well, our listeners are not new to online, but
I knew you have listeners who, you know, can feed themselves.
Well, but maybe just three. I think we're up to our third or fourth one now, Karen, maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
it's possible that it's just hand-to-mouth. Hand-to-mouth. It's just all in the reflexes, Dick, and you know we have seminars.
You and Woody Allen's first wife sued him for doing jokes about her years ago, and I met her once. She was perfectly nice, and years later, I said to Woody, you know, was she bright? I mean, was she? And he said, she knew to eat.
Oh. Oh my God! Oh, that says.
Oh my God! She'll sue me now.
I mean it. That's all right. There's, you know what? She's probably not listening. But that.
Jody.
She might be.
Let me close with my almost my favorite Groucho Marx.
Okay.
Mark.
Please do.
Mm-hmm.
I think I did 7 or 8 shows with him, and one, the great one, on which he sang "Lydia the Tattooed Lady" with my great band, was every single thing he said from. Entire show was funny, and it was just great. It's on the DVDs, the Cavett Show DVDs,
okay.
But this is not. But he was not happy with the director he worked with, whose name was Sam Wood, spelled the usual way, W-O-O-D.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Wood, he was a rather famous director, but Groucho disliked him, and he intensely disliked Groucho. And one day he made the mistake of insulting Groucho in front of the cast.
Oh.
And what he said was in exasperation was, you can't make an actor out of clay. And Groucho said, no, a director out of wood.
Good one.
That gives you the chills.
That's classic.
That does.
Oh.
Well, thank you for leaving us with
that. Good.
That. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, Dick, thank you for leaving us with that great Groucho Marx line.
Okay,
we appreciate
it. Every one of these 10 minutes.
Well, you spent a week with us.
Yes, in 10 minutes. Right.
And we will look for you on New York Times.
On the blog. We'll look for your 3 books, even though you have 100 of them.
That's right.
Yeah.
And YouTube. You're on YouTube. You're all over YouTube. I saw it today.
I know.
That's where I saw John Lennon
and
you.
Half my life is on YouTube. But,
yeah, well,
you know, it's fun to get complimented on something you wrote. It's different from somehow getting compliment on something he said on television.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I still get people who loved my Sarah Palin column called "The Wild Wordsmith of Wasilla," and the line, "She seems to have no first language."
Oh.
You just need a book of all your lines.
That's right.
I think. Oh, those are there.
Yeah,
you could
have a recipe book of Dick Cavett's one-liners.
Dick Cavett's lines. Yeah.
I'm going to work on it tonight.
All right,
you work on
it, and we'll
Thank
circle back
so
with
much,
you.
Thank you so much, Dick.
Thanks, Dick.
It's
enjoy.
Really fun.
To go on.
Absolutely. Thanks for sharing your afternoon with us, Dick. We really had a blast with you.
Say hello to Ron Hull, and thank you for being painless.
We appreciate it. Take care.
Bye, Dick.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back.
There are 24 reasons to give to the Salvation Army this year. Reason number 15, Winter Night Watch. Our mobile canteen goes to the streets every night, providing warm clothes and a hot meal. So when you see those bright red kettles this year, please give what you can. A penny, a dime, a dollar or more. And know that your generosity is warming hearts and homes this holiday season. It's easier than ever to donate. Create your own red kettle online at onlineredkettle.org. The Salvation Army, doing the most good. right here in Omaha.
Andropause. Never heard of it? Well, it's like the male version of menopause. You know, that loss of energy and concentration, depression and mood swings, even ED that comes with a steady decline in testosterone. Precision Compounding wants you to know that there are effective treatments for andropause. Ask your doctor and then click PCRXOmaha.com to find out what Precision Compounding can do to make it easier for you to feel more like yourself. Precision Compounding, 156th and West Center Road.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-630-8707. 1-888-630-8707. That's 1-888-630-8707. 1-888-630-8707.
The Metropolitan Opera's award-winning series of live high-definition broadcasts is back at Filmstream's Ruth Sokolov Theater. Presented by Film Streams in collaboration with Opera Omaha, the new season of The Met Live in HD features 12 operas, including classic productions and Met premieres. Experience New York's Metropolitan Opera from your seat at Film Streams Ruth Sokolov Theater, featuring informative and entertaining prelude talks by Opera Omaha artists and staff before all live Saturday matinees. And if you can't make the live show, catch an encore presentation the following Wednesday evening. The Met, live in HD at Filmstream's Ruth Sokolov Theater, Omaha's nonprofit cinema. Find more information and purchase advance tickets on the calendar page at filmstreams.org.
The Tom Becka Show.
You know, Mighty 1290 Coil is back. That's right. Coil and 1290 together again. Tom Becka and Omaha together again.
2 to 6 p.m. weekdays on the Mighty 1290 Coil.
You're listening to It's the Beat on the Mighty 1290 Coil. Once again, here are your hosts, Karen Sokolov-Javich and Jody Vinci.
Way to wrap up our first 6 months, Jody. We want to especially thank our wonderful guests.
Yes, for the past 6 months, we have been thrilled. What other words have we used, Karen? We're excited. They're awesome. They're
mesmerized.
Great. Mesmerized. But truly, we are grateful and so appreciate their time and their talent that they shared with us. And also, special thanks to the Mighty 1290
Absolutely.
For airing It's
our
the Beat.
Show. And thanks to Rachel Jacobson, Film Streams, Ruth Sokolov Theater for sponsoring our show.
And thanks to our great producer.
Yay, Brent Mercado.
Brent Mercado. Yay, Brent.
We couldn't do this without Brent.
We couldn't. And thank you, Karen.
Jody, that's one from my heart. Thank you. I couldn't do it without you.
From my heart.
So.
And most of all, thanks to our listeners.
Thanks to the listeners.
We hope you have a happy and safe new year.
And email us at Karen@itsthebeat.net or go to our website, itsthebeat.net. And we'll say goodbye to 2012 with my song, One People, One Destiny. Happy New Year, everybody!
Happy New Year!
One people,
one destiny.
We are one people,
one destiny.
All created equal.
One destiny.
We are men.
Angela Hagenbach performs live at Love's Jazz and Arts Center.
Because you do something to me.
A jazzy taste of KC with Angela Hagenbach and Gates Barbecue, January 5th at 7 p.m. Doors open at 6 p.m. For more details and ticket pricing, please call 402-502-5291 or visit lovesjazzartcenter.org.
Are you looking to earn an average of $1,000 a week? Then Nebraska Building Products is looking to hire you for the construction field. They offer 4 weeks of paid training, comprehensive benefits, and stable work hours. For more information, call 402-713-7267. That's 402-713-7267. Call Nebraska Building Products right now. 402-713-7267. That's 402-713-7267.
Christmas spell. 1290, KOIL, Omaha. The Mighty 1290.